Hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm just causing issues. Bugfest seems to be down, so I'm grabbing some screenshots from our production server and graying out, or not production, our test server, and graying out stuff. So that we can look at what's currently in the system for something. been an early morning already. My dog decided to get me up early. My spouse decided to get me up early, so I missed out on like an hour of sleep. And for the first hour or so of my day, my dog and bird decided to go nuts. They both finally tired out, but my brain is just like, nope, don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. You can't make me. Even went about them in there too. Neither I like that. Yep. I've had tea. But we're also out of milk, so I can't have coffee because I can't drink it straight. So it's the perfect storm today. It's the perfect storm. Let's see. Let's see if I can get in here. Yeah. Server is forbidden, unreachable, or unavailable. There's topic issues there. Okie dokie. Move. Give me one more minute.
Just for folks who were not here last on Monday, a reminder that we are not meeting on Monday because it is President's Day in the United States. And then I believe on Thursday, I have not gotten confirmation yet, but I'm fairly certain that Thursday, Stephanie Buck is going to come and talk to us about circulation log. So that right now is the plan for the 19th. And then the following week is calendar calming week, so everyone gets the week off.
Come on, you work in access services as well as I did. No, that's never true. You never have time off. Never.
I know. Well, I'm taking Monday off because it's my kids have school vacation the week, so I figure if I don't have an RA SIG meeting to run, I will take the day off.
Always
And the
remember.
other thing I would say is, speaking of running SIG meetings, we're still looking for a co-convener. I'm still looking for a co-convener to join me for the for 2026. So if you're interested, if you have friends and colleagues who might be interested, please suggest them. Or voluntask them.
Voluntize them. I like that one. Okie dokie. So, actual cost. Who wants? Does anyone really want to talk about fees and fines? It's not a fun thing. let's see. So, let me go ahead and share my screen. Today, I actually wanted to try to discuss actual cost. Kind of what it looks like now, what it potentially could look like in a different interface, and also kind of talk about ch potential changes in the workflow. So right now, whoops, is that all right? Let me get rid of that. You don't want to see that, or you don't need this. I had to do screenshots from our production server. So right now, when you go into actual cost, which is accessible through you, well, let me rewind that. On the lost policy page, there is an option to do actual cost, to bill actual cost, or to bill a set cost. If you say to bill actual cost, it drops the fee fine into the actual cost pipeline. In order to access the interface to apply actual cost charges, you have to go to, and I always forget what the actual name of this is. You go to users, actions, and then lost items requiring actual cost. That drops you into this search and filter interface, where you have some basic search capabilities. It defaults to the status open because it assumes that you want to process open actual cost, which kind of makes a little bit of sense. And then it also gives you the option of do you want aged lost, declared lost, what the status is. But this is the general information you get. Patron, loss type, data loss, and a few other things. Oddly enough, we only have this in our system because somebody went in and changed my policies on me without telling me and started losing actual costs. I'm like, why? Why did you do this? Clicking on any of these items don't do anything, but there is an action menu on the side. If this is open, you have the option to bill actual cost, do not bill, and then you have links to patron details, loan details, item details, and then fee fine details and actual cost details. Going on further, if you say to bill actual cost, it's a set of two modals that pop up. The first is asking you how much you want to bill the patron, and then any additional notes for the staff or patron. So it's a lot like the manual fee fine billing process. And then you get a confirmation page, which I must go quickly, and then a confirmation dialog pops up. Again, if you say to waive it or not do not bill, it gives you a do not bill dialog, and it goes to a second dialog confirming again that are you sure you want to do this? So that's the current flow for actual cost. And of course, there's also notices in the background that get sent out, that sort of thing. What the proposed changes I was thinking for actual cost, and I put a big arrow for I can find stuff in here, is building off of the other fee fine interfaces, or more generic fee fine interface, would be basically popping actual cost as an option into here. Oddly enough, the search options would not change too much, potentially adding things like from and to dates so that you could search a date range to give you a little bit more flexibility, who the fee fine owner is, and possibly item location. But these definitely would be some of the items added to the facet. You'd have a lot of the same information. I did add, hold on, let me double check. Let me bring this up. I just moved things around. So date of loss is first, type of loss, and then the patron's name. I changed instance to title. Permanent location is still there. Fine owner, replacement cost, that sort of thing. Yes, Amelia.
So maybe I've just missed a previous conversation about this UI, but so how would navigating to this work? Would this be replacing the current defined viewing page in users? Okay.
Yes. So basically, what would end up happening is, sorry, this is what we were kind of looking at before, is instead of having a fee fine page off of the user's account or being a link off the user's account, it would actually add this whole concept would add a new app space, which would just be fees. And then based kind of how, media requests and a few other areas of the system have a drop-down activity menu. This area would have the same thing. So the workflow would kind of be like if you're in a user page and you would see a summary of fee fines, instead of clicking on that and it going to the page it does now, it would drop into this interface, similar like it does with requests. So that way this could be cordoned off, and it has a few more like more robust features to it. And then in order to get to the actual cost, you would just click on, I have to change this here. In order to get to actual cost, you would click on the Fee Finds app space and then just choose the actual cost from the drop-down box. And then I would give you basically this interface here. It would change the search functions and also the main table functions.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks for filling me in. I think
Sure.
this looks like a great idea.
Thanks. Anytime. And yeah, so as I said, this interface hasn't changed much from what it currently has. I'm not sure how many people right now are using ActiveCost that are on this call. Is there any questions or concerns about this table layout, the information that's on here? Would you like to see other information? We can also add, I do have like display call number and barcode as optional fields that could be turned on in this table. Is there any other fields that you would like to see? Yes, Amelia. Think you're muted.
Yeah, so I don't think requests has this, but have you considered including a drop down for selecting which fields you're searching by, the same way that other apps have?
Yep, that can definitely be added. So, would you think of something like inventory where you have a general keyword search and then specific fields like barcode, call number, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay.
And as part of that, just it would be helpful for the even if we didn't have it as something you select from, I think it would be good to have some kind of indication of what fields are being searched, even if we don't give people options, just so that it's clear which fields are actually indexed.
That's a great suggestion. And actually, what I can do is I can expand that onto the Fee Finds general interface and the other interfaces as well to try to keep it as consistent as possible. Thank you. Aaron?
We do use actual costs right now, and with I don't know, you've removed instance and replaced it with title, and I actually use the information that's in instance because my procedure is every morning I come in here and I look up the price of these things in various places, and I pull the ISBN from the information provided there in the instance, so I don't have to go into each record and find that. It's already right there, so I can just copy and paste in eBooks or Amazon or Books in Print, wherever I'm searching. So I would really miss that if we got rid of the ISBN number.
So one thing is, okay, so I do have as potential other fields. Oh, I'm on display call number, but you're saying that ISBN number is also something
Yes.
that is needed.
Aaron, does that currently come in that block of text in instance? Because it's hard for me to tell exactly what's in it. What I see in ours is the title, the loan type, and the effective call number string is what comes in as our in that
Yeah.
instance block. Is your ISBN coming in there? Do you have
Yeah.
it in one of those
Yes.
fields?
Yes. So I just copied it. I was working on billing right now. So this is one book that's about to be billed. So this is the information that is there. I don't, it's tiny, but so title and then whatever ISBN is appearing in the instance. I don't know why we have four right now, but and then the loan type is there and then the call number. I don't really use loan type or call number, but Definitely, the ISBN is what I use every time I'm looking something up.
That's interesting. We must, ours must all be, I think, I mean, ours are, the only thing we use actual cost for is equipment. And so I don't think any of ours are actual, MARC records that these are coming from. These are just dummy records to hold inventory equipment. So I didn't actually know the ISBN was one of those.
And neither did I, because the test records that I saw when I was in Bugfest, I don't think it had any identifiers in it. And we're same thing as the person that turned it on in our system turned it on for equipment. So there is no there is no ISBN numbers for equipment. So thank you. That's actually really helpful.
And then
I
I'm
guess I
curious why you split out. It doesn't really bother me, but I'm just curious because right now status and replacement costs live in the same column. So I was just curious why you split it out into two columns.
Status
Yeah.
and I'm sorry, replacement cost.
Yeah. So it would just be it would say open or it would say build, and then the replacement cost would just appear after build.
Yeah,
Okay.
I was thinking the
Okay.
same thing because replacement cost is going to be nothing until you bill it, and you this whole modal, this whole interface is really a flash in the pan. It's not. These don't really stay in here. They're just a kind of workflow thing. So you don't, I would agree. I would to probably keep that under the status column.
So I think well, actually, I don't think I know the reason why I did it here, and maybe that makes more sense. And I can do two different versions quick. I love it when this thing does not let me do something I want it to do. So the replacement cost field that I added here was in anticipation of the item replacement cost field being added. So the idea, at least when I drew up this interface, is the replacement cost that was here, because these are still open, is this is the amount that is indicated in the item record to be the quote unquote replacement cost, and not the one that was actually billed. And then later on, when it's billed, this is the amount that you actually billed for it. So that's the only reason why I split it on separate ones. Does that make sense? Okay, it does. Okay, so that one makes sense. Actually, I saw Amelia's hand up and then went back down and then came back up, but
Amelia, you go.
Okay, yeah. So replacement cost is only going to be relevant for lost item fees and like these actual cost charges. With that drop down you have in that search column, will that work similarly to inventory when you're switching between instances, holdings, and items, where it changes your search options and changes the fields listed in the results? Or are these columns going to be used for all of the potential options there?
The anytime you switch from one action to another, the entire interface will change. So, for instance, with the general fee fines display, you have different search options. It may have a subset of what the other ones have. More than likely, if we adding this, these search options may there will be some consistency among all the different panels, because all of them, sorry, everyone at work is like drive is sending me tons of messages today. There'll be some general search options like title patron that will be consistent amongst all the panels. But for instance, there might be a specific search option or field type that's only searchable in the fee fines. And then some of the other ones underneath here, like from to, may stay static between all the interfaces, but all the other facets will change. So the table layout and the search options will change from action to action.
Okay. And then how many things do we anticipate having in that top drop down? Is there a reason we can't do it the way inventory does with the single button with multiple segments to switch between those? Oh, okay, but five is quite a lot. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Never mind.
And part of the idea of this was too is, unlike inventory and other things, is a lot of things, and at least this was my mindset coming up with this. So these are the different interfaces. A lot of the reason why some of this was being split up, at least in my mind, is to allow also for compartmentalization of fee fine processing to different staff members. So for instance, you might have a staff member that has full access to the system that is allowed to do regular fee fine processing, and they have access to every single page. But let's say you offload the actual cost to somebody who's a selector or in library technical services, and you don't want to give them access to everything. You just want to give them access to the actual cost processing because they're doing like what Aaron was saying is they go in every morning, they go through all the items that were lost, look up the ISBN number, see what the actual cost was, and then bill that. But then they don't have access to everything else. Or like you go down to, applying credits or refunding credits, that could be somebody in like a business service offices where all they should be dealing with is sending out checks to patrons. Claims return, you could add students that allowed for them to report, pull reports and update it, but they can't see other fee fine data. So that was also another reason why I was kind of compartmentalizing it out, was to allow for more fine-grained permissions.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks.
Susan.
Now I've forgotten what my thing was. I'm
We were.
curious about the permanent item location. I know it's currently that right now, but I'm curious about why it is listed as the permanent item location because, and not the effective item location. I mean, this is how it currently works, so I it's more of a question about what we want, and because when you're billing something, the question is who is the fee fine owner? Because right now, with regular billing, non-actual cost, it bills according to the effective item location when it's checked out. We know this because we borrow reserves from five colleges to, to have on reserve, and then when they get billed, we are the fee fine owner, even though it's owned by the other five college. So, I know that's how it currently is working, but the question is, how would we want it to work here?
You don't arm wrestle for the money.
No, we actually forgot about it and we're like, oh my, we did not pay Mount Holyoke for these books that we lost on reserve.
The honest answer to that question is I just copied it over from the other one. It doesn't particularly make a ton of sense to me either. I am completely fine if other people may say, feel that that makes more sense, changing that to the effective location, which would just be item location. I don't know, what are other people's thoughts? And then I'll jump over to you a little bit quick. Any objections?
We only have one fee fine owner, so it doesn't really matter to us as much, but I agree with the that it should be effective location.
This is why I use XD because I can change things on the fly. Nice. That makes it also a lot cleaner when I like a nice clean table. Olga.
I was wondering, do you plan to add ability for people to select the columns that they want and let them stick, kind of? For example, I never want to see the location, so it will never even show up for me.
Yes, I do have under the action menus here, these are the actions that I did have. I'm sorry, wait, yeah, these should not be here. Oh no, those should be there because I have multiple select, so that yes, those should be allowed. Never mind. And these would change depending on what you have selected, and then also export. But yes, there I was going to have the option to show in high columns, and I did make a note down here to leverage the customization app that they're using for the menu bar at the top to see if we can save what columns are stored for individual users so that setting is persisted amongst views. I know it, as far as I know, it hasn't been used yet, but this will probably take 10 years to fix or 10 years to do. So by that time, the customization module will be really, really robust.
That's great. That's great to have, even in 10 years.
Yeah. I'm
Thank you.
realistic, if anything. No problem. No problem. Any other comments, suggestions, any other columns that would be helpful on this page for people? Anything at all? Any or
I
not?
do love that you added VFine Owner because I know I just said we only have one VFine Owner, but we share a tenant with the Library of Michigan, and so I technically they are their own VFine Owner, and it is really great to be able to sort those out. So I love that you added that option over on the left-hand side, so I don't have to see theirs when I go in the morning. So I just wanted to tell you I like that.
Nice. Nice. Nice.
Yes, that's critical for us in Five Colleges because we have to sort them and deal with that now. So
Yeah.
I second that.
Yeah, same thing with us. We have like 20 owners.
Yeah, and it's a lot. Not all of them have equipment, but still, it's or have actual cost items. So can we talk about something that's functionality and not interface, or do
Yes. Yeah,
we want
go
to
for
get any other comments on the interface first?
I mean, if there's no other comments that anyone wants to jump in on this part of the interface, we can jump to functionality. If you have a functionality itch, I'll put it that way.
Yes,
That's
I do have a functionality itch. So one of the challenges, well,
mind.
one I think you already know about, which is that fee fine actions that are happening in actual cost are not showing up in the circulation log. We'd love
Correct.
that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The other piece is sort of, and I don't even know how I want this to necessarily work, but the do not bill option right now closes the loan, which is not always what you want to do. So I'm thinking about faculty in our case. You know, we have faculty or staff who have something out that's been out for, a year and a half. We want to know that we're not going to bill them. We don't want to bill
Right.
them, but we necess I guess when we say do not bill, it's not clear. And maybe maybe you actually should say that because we have had tried to test the functionality like do not bill slash close loan because it's not clear if you say do not bill that it's going to close the loan. Like to me, that was unexpected behavior. To make it basically closes the loan, it makes
Right.
it lost and paid. I think this item status becomes like it was really not what I anticipated was going to happen.
So when so let me rewind. So what you're hold on, my brain is going in three different directions right now. I'm trying to figure out which is okay. So right now what's happening is when you do not bill, what it sounds like the work with the Fleet Find workflow, what it's doing is it is following as if you did bill it and paid it, which is it marks the item as lost paid and then moves the loan to closed, and then that clears up that would clear any blocks on the patron's account for lost items.
Yeah, well, yeah, probably.
Yeah, but the loan is still attached to the user's account, but it's considered a closed loan. It's in that loan limbo, where it's not really open, but it's not really closed, so it doesn't get anonymized. It just kind of sits on the patron's account as closed forever. But if they return it, it would come back and it's theoretically return front ending fees. What I'm thinking is that what I'm getting from what you're saying is you would like to have it that when you mark something as do not bill, that the loan would remain open and still count against their account as a lost item, but they just would not receive a fee fine for it, and it would basically close it in the fee fines to process manually process. Is that correct?
I mean, I know there's some other ways to do it. Like, we could just choose to not charge them. But again, we have to make a decision across all five colleges. So sometimes we don't all have the same exact policy when it comes to billing faculty and staff. So that's made that a little bit harder. I like Amelia's idea of having an option. That you could, because it would stay as a loan that's aged to lost, there would just be no charge associated with it, right?
Right.
And it would take it off the actual cost processing list, which those just stay on. They just stay on forever because we don't want to mark them do not bill because they close the loan, but we don't want to take them off the user account because we want to be able to periodically be like, hey, you still have that charger or laptop or whatever.
I can't type. Why is it like auto-correcting me? So I guess the other question is too is I'm sorry, go ahead, David.
Oh no, I'm just trying to understand. I mean, I think this makes sense to me of just it's like two different actions and making sure that the language is clear on what the implications are. So if I understand this correctly, because we don't use any of this part, right now the status goes to lost and paid if you are essentially waiving, like you're closing the loan and waiving the fee. So I do wonder if part of this comes back to the fact that there really should be a different status than lost and paid for things where you are not, in fact, requiring someone to pay anything when you are closing out the bill and closing out the loan. Like, I'm wondering if it's like lost and waived or something else. Because just purely for statistical purposes, it seems goofy to lump all of those different kinds of things together. Lost and paid feels like it should mean somebody actually paid for it. But that's it's a side thing. But overall, I think, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You just need to make sure you have clear language of, I don't know, something like, it wouldn't be like do not, like it shouldn't be do not, I mean, do not bill, I agree, makes sense as a leave it in its current state or like do nothing versus what the other thing really is. It's more like waive the lost item, right? Like that you're taking a waive action when you are closing a loan and not requiring someone to pay for it.
Yeah, that's my interpretation of this as well, is that's what it's doing. It's kind of like, yeah, the statuses is another one that we have that should be changed. I want to, at least with the item statuses, is have them the ability to have a public facing item status and an internal item status, not changing the item statuses themselves, but allowing people to customize it. So that way, like if we did add something that was lost and waived, you could have a public facing one that just says lost. And same thing with lost and paid. It's like, but yes, that is my understanding of the workflow, is it's basically doing a lost and waived. And yeah, it's closing out the loan. Yes, Aaron.
I just wanted to echo what Susan was saying, and how it should function. Just because I've had, real life instances with this where We had, so we do bill faculty. And the other day I had a faculty who had over 300 books that had aged to lost. And so they're all appearing in this list, right? Well, they call, they're begging, please, I'm going to bring these in. I got to do it slowly. Yada, yada. I've got them. Da, da, da. Okay. So if I want to take their word for it, I want to say, do not bill because I want it out of my list. I'm billing every day. I don't want to see these. But I can't say do not bill because, like Susan said, it takes it off their account and everything. So I want a way to get it off my list here so I don't have to see it. But I don't want it pulled off their account. So I would like that functionality. And I had another one that a professor had 188 books. So I get these not that frequently, but I do. So it would be nice to somehow get them off my list and trust that they will bring them in the next month, like they say.
So what about if we were to do this?
Ooh, I like suspended billing. I like that.
I was thinking the same thing. That's
Yeah.
as you were speaking, Aaron, I was like, what if you just like pause?
Because it would bounce it out of, instead of it being open, it would just change the status to suspended. And it would just take it out of this list so it could be something you can potentially address later, but it would leave it in an open state. Yes, David.
Oh, I was just going to ask, and yeah, I mean, I think, pause or whatever, but would you need either a setting that was system-wide or some value? Like, you would presumably need to create, or you would want to create, how long you are pausing it for, right? Like, you wouldn't want to put something into a paused state that takes it off the list and then it is forever gone, or you have to run a special. You have to look at a separate list to see any of the things that are currently paused. Like, you would want to be able to say, pause this for 30 days while this faculty member brings their stuff back in, or pause this for 3 months or whatever. You would presumably want it to sort of automatically unpause on some kind of cycle, right?
I like that.
Possibly, although you could check that suspended, like if you had a filter and you could bring them all up as paused, you could potentially, that would be one workaround. But you're right. I'm always looking for the simplest solution.
And it could be that at some point, it could be that it's basically both. Like, I can. What I say about wireframe or UI mockups, you can put whatever you want in here. It doesn't mean it can get done, but you can put your dreams in here and and write up stories for them. But I do kind of like that, and that we could. I mean, you could leave that. We could have this that you leave this blank and it just suspends it indefinitely. But if you wanted to, like as David was saying, if you wanted to have things suspended and they automatically pop back to open within 30 days, adding a interval afterwards. Actually, this would be this title here. The one question I had though was back to the do not bill. I do like the idea of having it on the dialogue, but would you want it as a part of the lost policy? So having an option here that says do not bill action, close loan, leave loan open. And then we could even do a third one that says ask. Or do you think just having it on the dialogue would be sufficient?
I think you, well, I don't know. I think if you don't have it, if you're setting it here, end users or by staff users are not going to know how it's going to behave on the front end. And you may, for instances like us, with five colleges, it even in, within one institution, the scenario might be different for two different faculty, I mean, whatever, two different scenarios,
I know what you
right?
mean. You have one
So I
particular
would
faculty
think you
member
would
in favor
always
of
want to
it.
ask, but I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Any other feelings either way, or is everyone kind of neutral? As long as you're allowed to do it, you're happy. And David?
I tend to agree with With that, I think it's likely that you're always going to want to ask. Again, I don't particularly care about this feature because I don't do it, but I could see having like a default setting where you could have something where it's, yes, exactly, like it's there's a configurable default where you could say the default is forever or 30 days or whatever you want it to be, but then you can always change it. I would say that if you are going to have forever as a default, then you definitely also need to have that filter to be able to see your paused billing decisions, which you probably need anyway, even if you are always setting a time limit, because you could set a time limit. We've come across a few really, really old user accounts that were issued like three systems ago where they were like, we'll put this into such a far distant future that we don't even ever have to think about this. It'll expire in 2025. And now the future is here.
Okie dokie. So what I'll do is I'll add it to the that's reserved for. Oh yeah, I'll add it to the loss item policy, and it is our the option there. Default do not bill option is close loan, leave loan open, and then when somebody actually says up here, lots of scrolling. Sorry. Do not bill. Part of the modal that would pop up would be including a checkbox that says like leave loan open, and then that checkbox would be checked or unchecked based on that setting in the policy. But a user can decide to override it. Does that work for everyone? Any other pain points that people want to mention about fee fines while we're talking about wonky workflows? If not, I can jump to the next screen. Okay, so kind of like the first interface, and also again, like a lot of other interfaces within Folio, once you click on one of these columns, it would bring up a detail screen. I did realize before this meeting when I was looking at this, I have fee fine information on here. Actually, I guess it is valid because if you build something, you would have the fee fine information here. This is just a view into the actual fee fine record. Instead of having to click on the patron details, loan details, or item details, it would show you basically this almost the same detail screen as you would on the regular fee fine details. I also added here the kind of a quick action to actually bill actual cost directly from this screen. So actually, since we did that, let me do this. We will close this down here, and I am going to grab this. So we will add a dog here. Oh no, actually, we don't need that. Never mind. I'm thinking of the. Never mind. I'm thinking of something else. Sorry. I was thinking of the closed loan action. That would be do not bill, not on the bill actual cost. Again, this is pre-populated with $60 because that was what was indicated on the item record. As you can see up here, it says replacement cost $60. The little plus sign would be to jump directly down here and pre-fill this if it wasn't already pre-filled. How does this, I mean, obviously you'd be able to do this individually, but how does this feel workflow-wise for people? Is there any more information that's on here that you would like to see? Layout of the screen, i.e., should maybe the actual cost section be the first thing and then everything else underneath it so that you can just jump to that part?
I like the idea of it being at the top. When are you imagining that this would be executed, like as opposed to just clicking the bill?
Oh, you mean instead of
Like instead of
just
just
clicking?
clicking on the dots and saying bill it.
I mean, It could be either or. It depends on people's workflows. So my envision was that you could select multiple ones and then just say bill actual cost and whatever it has here in the replacement cost is what it bills. Or you could
Okay.
click the three dots and say bill. Or if you wanted to do an item by item review, you could click on the item here and then it would bring this up and then you
Gotcha.
could bill it from here.
I guess what's the advantage of that?
Of
What's
having
the
this
advantage of
feature.
having this additional? Like, when would you use this? I'm trying to think about, again, with the simplifying, when would you need this versus what you get now, which is the pop-up modal. So are you envisioning this instead of the modal or?
It would be R, maybe an addition. So like using one of these two workflows up here where you're selecting multiple things and saying bill it, or if you click the three dots here, you will get the modal. But the modal is just the modal, stop it.
It's pretty limited. You don't get a huge amount.
Yeah, and that's the issue was is this is kind of the modal that you get. You just get the fee fine owner, the fee fine type, and then you have a amount that you're supposed to bill them. There's no title information or anything else on there. I think the idea behind, or at least my idea behind this one is that you're kind of getting all that other extra information. So if you really need to dig down to see what the item was, or what the loan information was, or the user information, you have all that detail here. Plus, also the link outs to the different loan policies, as well as a link to inventory from the item record. So, if you wanted to see, like, this doesn't look right, like you think there might be more or less, you could click on this barcode and jump you over to inventory and see more inventory details. So, I guess it's just more of a way of seeing an overall picture of the loan and the patron, where the other ones are just kind of like, yep, it's done. Get it out of my face, sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Olga?
Well, when you mentioned that you can click a few of them, let's say you have 10 that need to be built. So if you select all 10, then would you use this additional model on the side and they will just all automatically will be built with the default replacement costs? Is that correct?
Yes, that was the thought for the workflow for the multiple select here is if you're looking at everything that's open and you were to click this to select all of them, whatever was in this replacement cost field is what would be as the actual cost.
Yeah, that, I really like that because we don't look for current prices or like we just take replacement cost and bill it. So the less involvement could be from a user that the best for us.
Right. That was kind of the hope. It's and but yeah, that was the hope. So for this one, let me move this around here quick. So this makes more sense to be at the top. So let me do that.
Yeah, and from that point of view, having it at the top would be better.
To do that. Actually, with this one, the option bill actual cost is probably not needed. The option though, do not bill would be needed because you can bill actual cost right here. And if you don't want to bill, it would be the action up here, do not bill. Or would it make more sense to have another button over here that says do not bill? And that opens up the do not bill modal.
Yeah, the button will work.
And I will change that over to, oh, right there it is, default button. I don't know why this one is so small and that one is so big. Okay. There, that's a little bit better. That's a little wonky, but whatever. All right. So we add do not bill over here. We have option two. Actually, let's do this. Let's change this. So that's a little bit clearer. What this is doing. Any other comments, questions?
And if it's do not bill, is it that's the same as suspended, right? Shouldn't label be the same in both places?
So actually suspend would be a separate option. So it'd be similar to that. Or is that making that too crowded?
No, I think that looks good.
Let's see. And finally, this is just a large detail screen. It's kind of the same as the others. We could probably even get rid of this screen. I don't know if there's any reason for it. It just shows it on a larger and in a larger view. I mean, how do people feel? Like, would you like to have a full page view of this detail screen? Or is it not needed? Yes, Amelia.
I don't think this is super necessary, just since we can resize panes. If we wanted to see it bigger, we could resize it some. Yeah.
I would agree. Again, this bill actual cost is like a flash in the pan, like it only is happening once, and then the records behind it don't even like the closed ones are kind of in the background and you don't really even need them anymore. So, I guess I shouldn't, maybe I don't want to say this out loud, Amelia, but this also could be from an anonymization standpoint, these records that are lost, I don't know how long these actual cost tickler files last, but they're not tied directly to the fee fine. Like they stay there as closed. Even if the thing is closed, so just something to think about with anonymization.
Yeah, that's something that's been on my mind because there's also right now there's user information saved in those actual cost records.
Right.
It doesn't go away. Yeah.
That's okay. You can save user information all over the place. Who cares about privacy? But yes, that is a good point. Like, how long are these lived for and why? I guess I also kind of, and that kind of opens another one. Is there any reason for any of these old ones to be left here at all? Like,
Canceled, I think, yes. Canceled, sometimes you want to go to or build. I mean, I think build and canceled, sometimes you may want to see them. I mean, in the sort of in the near term immediately, like, oh crap, I built that and it went away and I lost it or I reloaded my screen or something. Expired, I've never seen. Like, I don't actually know how something expires.
I was
I
wondering
don't
that too. I was like, what is expired? I don't know what that one is. Because I
Yeah,
can
I
tell you what
don't
it's
either.
not. It's not, well, so we have a 7 day, like for hourly loans, like we have a 7 day period that if you don't return it within 7 days, the fine doesn't automatically go away. So if It doesn't get billed, or if that 7 days passes, that's not expired. That doesn't expire it. You could technically still bill it after that 7 day period, but if they return it, it doesn't automatically go away. So it's not that. But I don't know what it is.
So I'm going to say, since no one knows what expired is, how about we delete expired and get rid of it?
Do any exist anywhere, though?
I
Like,
haven't
is there
seen
an
it.
actual, like, is there a process in the back that something could expire? Has anyone ever seen it?
I have not, and let me check our set. Let me check our tenant settings and see if there's anything in here in this current version. I haven't even seen anything around expired. I'm not sure what it would be. I could ask Alex because he did a lot of the work around fee fines, and he might, oh yeah, that was a placeholder for this functionality that we were going to do, and we never did it, but Holly added it to the UI for you know what I
Right.
mean?
Our production environment does have expired, but these are ones that Amelia closed on the back end because we had a bunch of stuff that showed up in there when it wasn't, when we weren't using it. So actual cost was being developed, things were showing up in the list, but we weren't using it yet until it had better functionality. And then when it did, we had all this crap to clean out. And so Amelia did some magic and close some things on the back end, but they are showing up as expired. So whatever configuration of statuses translates to expired, that's where it's showing, but nothing that we did in the UI.
The only setting that I could potentially think of that this might be that expired might relate to is the no fee fine shall be refunded if a lost item is returned more than blank. That's the only thing I could think of, because even if you go with the actual cost settings, there is no other settings that pop up. Or it, as I said, it was just a placeholder that was added by Holly for other functionality because when they did the search interface in the facets, but it was never implemented. In either case, it sounds like it's not getting used or it's not functioning, so it can go bye-bye. I'm kind of wondering, though, too, is as part of the anonymization, is if something was canceled, if something was billed. To me, it makes more sense that these are very short-lived, let's say 24 hours, that there's a daily process that kills these out. That would give people time to go in and react. Before you run away, let me do this. Okay, cool. Sometimes when Susan leaves, it closes out the session. To me, it makes sense that once something has been billed or canceled, that it should show up in the regular fee fine history. Even if it was a cancel, even if you didn't bill it, to me, that feels like it should be an entry with the general fee fine information on the user account. I don't know. What do other people think? Or should it just not generate anything at all? If it's canceled or not billed. I mean, if it's canceled.
Well, for many of our, we expire, we bill them very quickly, like 3 days. For the majority of those fines, they go away because people do return items, they just late. I don't think we would want to see everything like that in the accounts still hanging, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, kind of. It's like I guess I don't see the I don't see the need for the double booking, basically. Like you have information on fee fines in one place, which is the fee fine accounts, but now you also have the actual cost records, which could generate fee fines. And to me, it feels like once something is done in this interface, so if you said, I want to bill this patron $60, that will generate a fee fine. And that it would be reflected in that loan's fee fines, actual cost billed $60. Or if you say, do not bill, to me, that would also should be represented in the patron's fee find screen or for that loan, like actual cost action not billed or something of that nature. And then the records just go away here. So the only thing that's actually in here as records are either open or suspended, and that's it. Anything that has been billed or canceled is wiped out from this interface. Let's say every night at midnight. So there's a, like as Susan was saying, like you might want to go back and, oh wait, I just built something or I just did X, Y, Z. I want to go back and look at that.
Actually, it does happen that people build something in mistake, mistakenly.
Right.
So it could be useful from that point of view to see some of it.
Okay, so maybe keeping on. I mean, we could. I could also be set up as a system setting too, just for general anonymization. But we are at the end of the time, so and people need to jump off for other meetings. So I'm going to let everybody go. Thank you. This has been really helpful, and I get to do a lot of writing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Take care.